Chapter 16. Tents and Other Disasters.
Knuckles facing out, Rachel. Knuckles facing out, Carly says.
Unfortunately, I'm still not a very good canoeist, which is surprising considering it's so boringly simple. In, out, repeat process a million times. Carly is in the stern behind me, because that's where the best canoeist is supposed to be. Poodle's called dibs on the bow. I'm in the crappy middle, the only spot that doesn't have a seat and requires painful kneeling.
Did somebody fart? Carly asks.
Gross. No, Poodle says.
Well, I smell something.
Whoever smelt it dealt it, I tell Carly.
Maybe it's the turkey sandwiches, she says.
Turkey doesn't smell, I say. Our lunches are packed in our canoe. Dinner, hot dogs, tomorrow's breakfast, and a scary-looking vegetarian option Rose refers to as veggie paste are in the cooler in the counselor's canoe.
It does when it's been boiling in the sun for 2 hours, Carly says.
Can we take a break? I beg. My arms are killing me. We lift our paddles out of the water and balance them across the boat. Ah, that's better. Also in our canoe are the tent and 3 plastic garbage bags to keep stuff dry. Inside my garbage bag are my rolled-up sleeping bag, a towel, a change of clothes, and water bottles. Cece, Liana, and Morgan are right behind us. Poodles turns to face us.
Rachel, you're burning up. Did you put on sunscreen?
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be working. You're bright red, too. Carly passes us the bottle and we reapply. I dip my hand into the calm water.
How much longer do you think?
It's only 11, so 2 more hours, Carly replies.
Isn't it beautiful?
Poodle says, admiring the mountainous scenery. I gaze around, like I'm living in a postcard. If only it weren't so hot. I wish I could jump in.
Don't, says Carly. You'll never be able to get back on the boat without tipping us.
I know, I grumble. Poodles cups her hand, scoops up some water, and dribbles it on her forehead.
Try that.
I lean over and make my hand a cup, and we rock to the right. Uh-oh. We rock to the left. Uh-oh again.
Careful, Rachel!
Carly screams. We rock back to the left, and into the water we go. Splash! I land face down in the lake, and the railing of the canoe smacks me on the calf.
Ow!
I wail. How in the world did I manage to do that? I didn't lean over any more than Poodles did. Laughter echoes from a few yards away. I lift my head above the freezing cold water to see the girls in Liana's boat howling. Did she do that? No, she wouldn't. She's my cousin. She wants us to be friends.
They are so obnoxious,
a dripping wet Carly grumbles, slamming her fists into the water.
Liana better not come back next year.
Her teeth chatter.
God, this lake is like the Arctic.
Damn, my paddle is floating away, Poodle says, swimming after it.
Unfortunately, Liana is laughing the loudest, which makes me think whoever smelt it, dealt it. Don't assume the worst, I tell myself. She has no reason to tip my boat. She wants to get along with me as much as I want to get along with her. So why is she still laughing? As I tread water, Miri's voice nags in my brain, telling me to give Liana the benefit of the doubt. Carly grabs hold of her garbage bag and tries to keep it above the surface. She giggles.
You're such a klutz.
No worries, says Poodles, floating on her back.
That was refreshing.
Help me flip the canoe back over, Carly says, swimming to the boat.
We gather around and manage to turn it over while climbing in. As we carefully reach over to pull in our stuff, I look across at Liana's boat.
Sorry,
Liana mouths, smiling nastily.
The nerve! She did that! Who does she think she's playing with?
I'm a Magle expert these days. I'll show her. Help me out, Raw Will. My fingers start to tingle.
Raw Will, don't let me down.
I whisper, you're not so innocent, I'll bet. It's your turn to get all wet. My arms feel rubbery and cold, and then I eagerly watch as Liana's boat sways to the right, then to the left, then back to the right. Come on, come on, tip over. And then steadies itself. Crapola.
Liana looks up at me and purses her lips. And the next thing I know, I'm back in the water.
You've got to be kidding me, Carly grumbles.
Some expert. Liana's the professional, and I don't even qualify for the peewees.
After 2 hours, we finally arrive at Harbor Point. We pull our canoes onto the beach, toss off our life jackets, and drag our stuff to a clearing a few yards away. Before setting up, we cool ourselves off in the water and then get ready to unpack our lunches.
Where are our lunches?
The food from our canoe has disappeared.
You probably left it in the lake, Rose says with a loud sigh. You're lucky I packed extra veggie paste.
Why do I have the feeling that Liana is responsible for this as well?
Did you lose your drinks, too?
Liana asks. She reaches into her garbage bag and passes her water bottle to Carly.
You can have some of mine.
Don't drink it, I say, my heart pounding. Carly hesitates.
Look, you want some or not?
Carly shrugs and makes the reach.
No, don't,
I shout. But it's too late. She's already guzzled half of it. Carly blinks and then blinks again. Then she looks at me with narrowed eyes.
What's your problem? I'm thirsty. Why shouldn't I drink from her bottle?
That was fast.
Yes, Rachel, Liana purrs. Why shouldn't she?
Because you've poisoned her into being your friend and hating me?
Because I saw a bug fly in.
I didn't see it, Liana says.
Rachel, you're probably imagining things.
Again. Carly laughs and my heart sinks. Forget my fly excuse. It's like Lord of the Flies around here. I'm losing people by the second.
Here, Poodles. You can have some too, Liana says, and offers her bottle to my last remaining friend. Please say no. Please say no.
Nah, Poodle says, giving Liana a pointed look. I'm not into insects. After lunch, Poodles tries to talk me through peeing in the woods.
Pretend you're on a toilet, she says, her back to me.
But I'm not on a toilet. Instead of concentrating on getting the job done, I'm wondering if I should tell Poodles the truth. The whole truth, that is.
Squat like you're in a public bathroom and you don't want your butt to touch the seat.
Nah, I probably shouldn't. Tell her, that is, not squat. What if she tells someone? What if she mentions it to Harris? What if she thinks I'm crazy? My mom never told anyone, not even my dad. How can I blurt it out to someone I've only known a month? Instead, I say,
what if it goes all over my shorts?
It shouldn't if you're squatting properly.
But what if it does?
So, take them off.
I step out of my shorts and my bikini bottom and squat over the root of a tree. And then I try to pee. And I try again.
It's not coming.
Concentrate.
This is harder than a Magle. It takes me about 5 minutes, but I finally get it.
Ugh, that was disgusting, I say. Thank goodness for indoor plumbing.
When I put my shorts back on, I notice they have a big, ugly grass stain, right where the sun don't shine. She couldn't have. Could she? I look around, but I don't see Liana. But that's no proof. Maybe she brought her own invisibility umbrella. Next, we tackle putting up the tent, which is no easy feat, especially since Carly has switched teams and is now insisting on sleeping with Liana, Morgan, and Cece, even though they have only a 3-person tent.
Why would you do that? Poodles asks, thoroughly confused.
Because I'd rather hang out with them, Carly explains.
But you hated them this morning.
That's not true, Carly huffs.
Let her go, I say. I know there's no hope. More room for us. Let the other girls make space for her sit-ups. 2 hours later, we are finally finished. I didn't think it would be a promenade in the park, but we take 10 times longer than Liana's group. That was to be expected, since Liana totally used her superpowers to help her. Not that I'm surprised. Just envious because my powers aren't as developed. When we finally do get our tent to stand upright, we discover a dinner plate-sized hole in the tippy top.
How on earth did that happen? Rose asks. I checked them all before we left.
That's a question I know the answer to. What I'm wondering is why. I corner Liana while she's taking a swim.
Why?
She leans her head back to wet her hair.
Why what?
Why are you trying to make my life miserable? I thought we were going to be friends.
You mean, why did I tip your canoe, steal your friends, stain your shorts, and give your tent a big fat hole?
She's not even going to try to deny it? Yeah, that.
Because I don't like you.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's the reason. You asked and I answered. Now, get out of my way.
She strolls out of the lake like she doesn't have a care in the world. I'm too shocked to respond. If she doesn't like me, then she could have zapped Raph into kissing her and then zapped the memory out of his mind just to ruin my life. What am I going to do? I take a few moments in the lake to compose myself. Okay, that's a lie. I take a few moments in the lake because I'm afraid of the woods and I have to pee again. But that can be our little secret. It rains all night. Now I understand the hole in the tent. By the next morning, Poodles and I are both cold and shivering and not in the mood to paddle the 4 hours back to camp, especially since the two of us are the worst paddlers ever, and Carly seems determined to return with the others.
Carly, we let you sleep in the other tent, but you have to canoe back with Rachel and Poodles, Rose says, snapping on her life jacket. They're not strong enough without you.
But there's room for me in Liana's boat.
Rose puts on her I mean business face, which is the same as her mean face.
Tough!
Ha!
I silently apologize to the powers that be for every nasty thing I've ever thought about Rose. Carly is a top-notch canoeist, and we need her. Unfortunately for us, as mean as Rose was, Carly is now meaner.
Slide the blade in, Rachel! Don't smash it! You keep splashing me!
I'm trying. I'm sorry. Trust me, I want to do my best here. I'm dying to get back to camp as quickly as possible for several reasons. One, Liana is a witch. Two, Liana is evil. Three, I've thought long and hard about the Raph situation, and although I'm not sure whether I hallucinated the kiss, if I didn't, I'm sure that Liana is responsible. Either way, Raph thinks I'm acting crazy, so I have to apologize.
beg for forgiveness. Tell him I had a fever that night and was delirious. Why did I even doubt him? That was what got me into trouble at the spring fling.
Knuckles facing out, Rachel! Knuckles facing out!
I'm going to knuckle her in the forehead if she keeps this up.
Can we take a break?
I ask an hour later, exhausted.
My arms are killing me.
I don't know why, Carly snaps. It's not like they're doing anything. I ram my paddle into the water, sending a spray up behind me. That one was on purpose. As we approach the camp, I hear the lunch announcement on the loudspeaker. Perfect. In the mess hall, I'll be able to talk to Raph. Or kiss him, if I'm forgiven. After dumping my stuff onto my bed, I run to the mess hall and head straight to Raph's table. Raph's empty table.
They just left on their canoe trip, Poodles tells me.
Are you kidding me?
Afraid not. Harris went with them. He left me a note.
My shoulders sag in disappointment. That sucks. Now I'll have to wait another day before I talk to him.
At least they'll be back in the morning.
Poodles shakes her head.
They went on a three-nighter. They won't be back until Thursday.
That is so incredibly sexist, I cry. They get to go for three nights and we only go for one?
Did you want to stay longer?
I shudder. Not a chance.
But three more nights in a Raphless world? I don't know how much more I can take.
After lunch, Rose lets us use the pool showers while Bunk 15 goes to Upper Field. I'm not sure if she's being nice because she thinks we bonded during the canoe trip or if she just can't stand the smell of us, but who's complaining? Liana, Morgan, and Carly go first while Poodles and I wait on the pool bleachers. Morgan and Liana are done first, and Poodles and I take our turn. I hang my bathrobe on the hook outside the stall and step under the burning water. Ah, feels good. The hot water beats against my back and arms. When I'm done, I reach for my bathrobe. And reach. Where's my bathrobe? I push aside the curtain to find the hook empty.
Poodles!
I scream.
Poodles!
What? Do you need conditioner?
I need my bathrobe.
It's not there? If it was, I wouldn't need it, would I?
Hold on. I'm almost done, she says, and turns off the water.
Through my peephole, I watch her inspect the pool area.
You're right. It's gone.
Liana, I say. She is obviously responsible.
That is so evil,
Poodle says, shaking her head. By now, Carly is long gone, too. It's just the two of us.
Stay here. I'll run back to the bunk and get you a towel.
Poodles takes off, and I stand there shivering. While I wait, I summon my raw will and try to zap up a bathrobe. I squeeze my eyes shut and try to envision terry cloth. I feel something on my toes, and my eyes pop open. It's a face cloth. A teeny weeny face cloth, not even large enough to hide my smaller boob. I turn on the hot water to keep warm. I'm going to kill Liana. Kill her! Or at least get revenge. Don't get mad, get even, right? After 10 minutes, I think I hear a faint knocking at the door and quickly turn off the water. Actually, I have no choice. The water's gone cold. I stick my head out the shower curtain and hear Poodle shout,
"The door is locked! You have to let me in!"
She's got to be kidding. Here goes nothing. I check the windowed pool walls to make sure the coast is clear, run to the door, pull it open, grab the towel, and wrap it around myself all in one swift move. I can't believe I pulled that off.
Or not. From my new position, I see that I had a blind spot from the shower.
Prissy and five of her starter camp friends are gaping at me through the window. Could have been worse. Could have been the starter camp boys. Even worse, the lion boys.
I know you took it. I'm standing by our bunk bed, still in my towel, jabbing my finger at my cousin. She looks up from Vogue and bats her lashes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. She didn't take your precious bathrobe, Morgan says. We were right there. We would have seen her.
One of you took it, Poodle says. It didn't just disappear on its own.
More than likely, it did.
That's it. I've had it. I can't sit back and take this anymore. No more fooling around. I need to get my magic up to speed ASAP. Fire needs to be fought with fire, not pathetic matchsticks. This is no longer revenge. This is war. I need Miri's help. Unfortunately, Miri still isn't speaking to me. I need a plan B.
Why are you bringing an umbrella? Poodles asks me the next day as we head to the beach for sailing.
It's not raining.
That cloud looks pretty threatening.
I put a hand on my stomach and groan.
You know what, Poodles? I'm not feeling well. I'm going to stop by the infirmary to see Dr. Dina. Tell the sailing people where I am, okay? And Deb if I don't make it to GS.
Next stop, the Oscars.
I hurry up the road, but instead of going to the infirmary, I sneak into Miri's empty bunk. I aim right for her shelf and quickly rifle through her things until I find what I'm looking for. Her faux pencil case. I brought my own baby powder. I sneak into the mess hall, break open the invisibility shield umbrella, sprinkle the powder on the pencil case, and spend the afternoon studying. It's time for a crash course in revenge.
Oh my God!
Carly screams, pointing. We've just returned from dinner, and as we turn up the hill, a skunk pushes out through the bunk's front door, runs down the stairs, and darts into the woods. All five of us hurry into the cabin to see what the damage is. We follow the scent into the cubby room. Carly is close to tears.
Which one did it get?
Trishelle purses her lips and points to the cubby in the corner. The perfect cubby that looks like it's never been touched. Liana's face is whiter than my sheets.
That is such a shame, I purr. Really, Liana? I wonder why it chose yours.
She clenches her fists.
I wonder why, too. I can tell you one thing. That skunk is going to be sorry.
Bring it on.
Wake up, everyone. Wake up,
Janice says, storming through our bunk the next morning. I roll over in bed. Itch, scratch, scratch, scratch. My head is itchy. Why is my head itchy? I scratch again and slowly move my hand in front of my eyes. A small reddish-brown bug scurries down my finger. Lice. I scream and scream and then scream some more.
Liana, there's something on your arm, I hear Carly say. And your other arm. And on your legs.
They just got back from the showers and are in the cubby room changing. I didn't join them in the showers because I already spent half a day in the infirmary showers with a bottle of Nyx. I spent the other half sitting on the infirmary bench with the nurse and a knit comb. Since my sheets and comforter are still being fumigated, I've been lying on my sleeping bag.
It's red, Carly says.
It's ugly, Morgan says.
It's poison ivy,
Liana hisses. Damn straight.
I want my pencil case now,
Miri screams, hands firmly on her small hips. Oh, now you're talking to me. I put my surely winning hand face down on the porch. It's free play, and Poodles and I are in the middle of a gin rummy game.
I'm not talking to you, Mary snaps. I'm yelling at you.
I'll be right back, I tell Poodles as my sister drags me by the arm into the bunk. I pick up Mary's book and toss it at her. Here you go.
Outside,
she barks. I follow her behind the cabin. Her eyes are popping out of her head like slinky toys.
Did you give Liana poison ivy?
Mary, calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. Just tell me the truth.
Fine. Yes. She gasps and then chokes on her own gasp.
And you used my spellbook to help you?
Yes. A moment of quiet, and then she explodes again.
How could you do that to my best friend?
Your best friend? I cannot believe she just called that evil witch her best friend. Gave me lice.
She did not. I'm sure you got it from Prissy or one of her dirty friends.
Prissy does not have lice. Did Liana tell you that?
Yes, she did.
Now I'm furious. And you believe her? That's just great, Mir. You take the word of someone you've known for 5 weeks over your own sisters?
At least she keeps her promises.
You're a gullible idiot.
I'm sick of you!
Mary screams, kicking the green wall.
You're always putting me down. Everything is about you. It's been like that since I was born.
If you hate me so much, then go live with another family.
I'm planning to, she says slowly. Liana wants me to go to boarding school with her in Switzerland. And I'm going.
That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. You can't go to boarding school, I scoff. Mom would never let you.
Well, I have news for you, Rachel. She can't stop me.
Of course she can. You're 12.
She has no say in what I do. Did you know that witches believe that a girl becomes an adult when she turns 12? It's just like Judaism.
That may be, but you still won't be allowed to go.
She isn't the boss of me.
Yeah, she is, Mir. And I'm going to tell her what you're planning.
Go ahead. She'll find out eventually.
I'm writing her right now.
Too bad she's away. And you can forget about instant messaging or emailing. Liana's already concocted a blocking spell. By the time Mom gets back, I'll be gone.
Oh, really? When exactly are you planning on leaving?
Saturday night. Liana and I don't see a reason to stay at camp any longer. It's kind of a waste of our time. Liana cares about the same things I do. We're going to spend the last few weeks of summer doing something real. We're going to use our powers to help people. And then we're starting school at the end of the month.
You can't leave. Mom gave you that location anklet to keep you from taking off. So there. Mary waves my words away.
Liana is a brilliant witch. She knows how to get rid of it.
Liana this, Liana that. May I ask how you're planning on paying for this school?
I'm a witch, Rachel. I'll zap up some money. I'll zap up permission forms. I can do it. I'm an incredibly powerful witch, you know.
She fiddles with the lanyard bracelet on her arm.
Liana says I'm one of the most powerful witches she's ever seen. Even more powerful than Mom.
Nice big head she's got there.
They'll search for you. They'll drag you home.
No, they won't. They won't care. It's not like Mom will even notice I'm gone.
I sigh. Oh, Mary. Of course she will.
No, she won't. No one will. Mom is busy with Lex, and Dad is busy with Jennifer and Prissy, and he'll be even busier with a new baby. And you're, well, you're always busy with your friends and your boyfriends.
Is that how she really feels? Mir, you know that's not true.
Not lately, anyway, since I'm down to one camp friend and zero boyfriends.
Guilt creeps through me. It's true. I have been a little preoccupied.
But I'm a teenager. We're supposed to be preoccupied.
She nibbles her fingers as she talks.
You ignored me all summer. You only cared about me when you needed me, when you needed my magical powers. Now that you have your own, you won't need me for anything. But Liana cares about me.
I grab her tightly by the shoulder. Mary, I care about you. I would do anything for you. She's looking at the ground instead of into my eyes.
No one at school will notice. It's not like I have any friends.
Because you don't make an effort. She shakes her head.
You know I never fit in. Not like you. And Liana knows tons of teen witches around the world. Girls just like me.
I'm not going to let you go.
You don't have a choice. And neither does Mom. I'm a much more powerful witch than her. And with Liana's power as backup, nothing can stop me.
That's when I realize she really can pull this off. We might end up like Mom and Aunt Sasha, and I might never see her again. Why can't I make her listen? Please, don't do this, I say, my voice cracking. And then, softly, I'll miss you. She hesitates. What? I ask. She looks up at me with big, hopeful eyes.
If you care about me so much, come with me.
I take a step back. I can't just take off. Can I? Sure, my parents are crazy. Sure, I live in a cramped apartment with one bathroom and I have only one close friend at school. But you can't just run away when the going gets tough. Your problems just come with you. No, I say. That's no solution.
See, she says softly. You're a liar. You wouldn't do anything for me.
And with that, she walks away and doesn't look back.